Today I want to talk about the relationship of value to energy. You do know, right, that the value you seek is almost completely the energy that you perceive in something that you seek. The statement that time is relative can refer to your feelings about how fast or slowly time passes based upon what you're doing, the fun you're having, or the tedium that you're experiencing. That relativity is present in a relationship of value to energy. Not only do we have value systems in which we have rules of conduct that we judge to be good and holy, we apply value systems to products and services, to stuff, to people, to information, etc. We value clothing, some people more than others. If you're what's called a clothes horse, you will value your wardrobe more than other people. The value is our interpretation of how that article of clothing makes us feel. If we have a story about how we came into possession of the clothing, that adds to the value. You could say the cost of the clothing is minor compared to the story plus feelings, unless, of course, the cost is an important part of your story. When we don't know much about an item, then say more than its cost or other statistics, it won't have much value to us personally. As an example, the other day I saw a yacht in the Charlotte Amalie Harbor in St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands. I didn't get close to the yacht. All I know about it are numbers, like the cost, the length, the age, etc. The ship is valued in dollars at $300 million. It is 454 feet long, has a crew of 45 people, can accommodate 16 guests in 8 cabins. What value does this yacht have for you or me? For basically nothing other than we can get energy from talking about it and amazing our friends with those numbers. It obviously does have value to the owner, David Geffen, his guests, most recently Barack and Michelle Obama, and the crew who make their living caring for the boat, the owner, and his guests. You and I can't add much energy to the boat because we lack affinity, reality, and communication with it. And that means the boat can't really add much energy to us. The value we add to our experiences by creating a story is totally up to us. When we consider a future action in a project toward a personal goal or a have-to, the degree which we can add positive energy to it is the degree to which that action becomes easier with a greater chance of success. We imbue the action with energy as we anticipate it. The better we are at this process of positively anticipating something, the more successful we will be. We are creators. We create value. We could say that creating value is the purpose of creating. At first, you may question whether this statement is true, that creating value is the purpose of creating. You may say you create for the fun of it, or to pass the time of day, or to learn a skill, or to leave a legacy. I would say each of those reasons is value, and you would get energy from them. We can get good feelings from causing effects. We can get good feelings from being effective at causing desired effects. When we decide to appreciate something in anticipation of that interaction, event, or connection, we are opening ourselves to the energy that accompanies that decision to value, that is, appreciate the interaction, etc. I recently returned from a week in St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands. The woman who accompanied me had never been to St. Thomas before. She didn't know any of the details of our week except that I was very fond of St. Thomas, the Caribbean waters, and the sunshine. Despite her lack of first-hand experience, she had excitedly anticipated the new adventures awaiting her. She was very open to try new things, go new places, have new experiences, all without holding St. Thomas to any standards she created as a result of previous travels. It was as if she had a mental, emotional filter of fun engaged. She viewed what we did as fun. You may be able to imagine that fun as a value opens a person to a lot more energy than, say, protectiveness, defensiveness, hostility. I believe we all have the ability to use our mental, emotional, physical focus to add energy to a situation. Instead of waiting to see if we enjoy an activity, we can pre-decide that we will enjoy it and learn from it at the same time. Back to St. Thomas. The island has a great reputation as a source of jewelry. The stores, numbering about 140, sell to the 5 million cruise ship visitors and the vacationing tourists. Even though I know very little about jewelry, I still like the look. The variety is impressive, but the quantity is absolutely amazing. What is the value of a ring with a precious stone? Who knows? The store owner knows what he or she paid for the stone and the setting. The store owner knows what he or she would like to sell the ring for. A tourist may recognize his or her own perception of value and energy, but have a different time equating that to the dollars and cents figure. I like the phrase, relative importances. Everything is important, but everything is not equally important. Food is important. Books are important. If you gave me a choice between spending $100 on a meal in a restaurant or spending $100 for books on Amazon.com, I find the books to be relatively more important. If, however, I happen to be starving, the food would be relatively more important than the books. We make decisions every day based upon these relative importances to us. In the past several days, I've driven 1,140 miles because it is important to me. 1,140 miles. Comfort and our idea of comfort push their way into our consciousness, and we modify how we use our energy to get value, which gives us energy. I originally planned to drive 12.5 hours the first day and 5.5 hours the second day to arrive in Maryland. It was pointed out to me that while I had done that amount of driving on the first day previously, it was too uncomfortable, and in the past, Maryland hadn't been the goal. I changed my plans for the sake of comfort and possibly safety. A very tired driver is not a safe driver. Comfort and safety were relatively more important than driving an arbitrary 12.5 hours. Life is about managing matter, energy, space, and ourselves in time. The managing of these four items have different importances to people. Some people live in an environment of chaotic matter with stuff disorganized all over the place. I personally like things neat and tidy, with notable exceptions of papers. I can put up with papers all over the place, so it would look like to a visitor that a strong wind had blown through the house and all my papers got scattered all over the place instead of being sit on the desk, table, and other horizontal surfaces. On the other hand, if there were a dirty coffee cup in the kitchen counter or in the sink, it would be very important for me to either put it in the dishwasher or hand wash and dry it and put it back in the cabinet where it belongs. That phrase, where it belongs, now seems relevant. I know where coffee cups, socks, shirts, underwear, shoes, slacks, etc. belong. I don't know where my papers belong, because it feels as though once they're put out of my sight, they are gone forever. They're lost. The papers represent ideas, and to me, ideas have the highest relative importances of any non-breathing being. If I were a farmer, ideas would be the seeds I'd be focused on. Ideas have value. Ideas have energy. Growing ideas through attention, cogitation, rumination is very important to me. The idea of traveling is related to space, as well as matter, energy, and time. I like to travel because I see new things and even old things that generate new ideas because I'm seeing them with new eyes. the me of yesterday is different than the me of today, just as though the me of a week from now is going to be a different person entirely. I want to be comfortable in all sorts of places, and travel moves me in that direction. It expands my comfort zone, and it makes much more space available to me, and enjoyable to me as well. I could say that exploring new places has value for me. Places have never scared me. People have scared me. And our goal could be to have comfort, excitement, and confidence that we could manage any of the spaces that we enter, no matter where it is in the country or internationally. Back to time. I like punctuality. Punctuality is related to how we manage ourselves in time, because basically, managing time, you recognize it's going to take 24 hours for 24 hours to elapse. It's going to take 1 hour for 1 hour to elapse. Even though we say time is relative, the length of time is 60 minutes is 1 hour. My daughter Diana is always punctual. Me too. We both value this aspect of time. We know where we belong at any one moment, and it feels good to us. Being punctual means we keep and increase our energy because we are where we belong. That's not unlike what I was talking about earlier, knowing where coffee cups and your clothing belong and putting it there. People who are habitually late may have difficulty extricating themselves from their current situation so as to be able to move on to the next situation. I'm enjoying what I'm doing, and now I should be somewhere else. There may also be some sort of anxiety addiction that guides them to create scenarios that are going to produce fear, anxiety, regret, self-flagellation for not leaving earlier or for being where they don't belong. Maybe they haven't learned the positive value and energy of being where they belong. When a person feels as though they have to do work that has no value, they lose energy. They aren't able to replenish themselves because they haven't learned how to get value out of mundane activities. I've always felt that a person who could change a have to, you know, a chore, a duty, a responsibility that may be decided upon outside of their own thought processes into a want to, in which they engage themselves and they take the brakes off, that person has a magic power to sustain themselves. Instead of resisting, they move full speed ahead. How can you extract value out of a situation you have already encountered in the past, as well as those that you're going to experience in the future? Let me share the advice I got from a mentor years ago in California. He recommended a three-step process of viewing a situation. He referred to this process as gift, giver, value. The first step was to consider what you experienced as a gift, even if it had been traumatic or worse. Normally, when we have a bad experience, we make up our minds that it was a bad experience. This process helps break that fixed viewpoint and allow other possibilities to unfold. If we were to look at a wrapped box that was presented as a gift, but we couldn't yet open it, our minds would still seek to know what gift was in that box. That same mental emotional tendency to understand, to give meaning to the gift experience, holds true in life's activities. The first mistake people make in creating value is to deny the gift. We judge our experiences negatively and we don't look for any other interpretation. The second step in the three-step process is to identify the giver. This could be yourself, someone else, even a perpetrator, God, the system, the government, you name it. The main mistake in the second step is to deny the giver. This includes not accepting responsibility for the gift, that if you are the giver, if you were the cause, and the gift was the effect, You need to take responsibility for it. The third and most important step is to identify the value you got from the gift. On a superficial level, the tendency is to deny the value. There's nothing good in this, is the common reaction, to which I say, look deeper. And I repeat that encouragement until the good, the value, comes into the person's awareness. And it will. At the bottom of everything, in my opinion, is good. So if you keep digging deeper, looking deeper, looking deeper, you will discover that good. When we finally see the value in an experience, all the energy we've been using to resist the experience now becomes available to us. And people over the years have remarked, wow, I feel so much lighter. And I believe that's because they let go of the heavy energy and all this resistance that they were putting up trying to defend themselves from a bad memory, a bad experience, or something they fear in the future. Now they stop blocking it, and they have a whole new point of view, and energy is now flowing, and it feels lighter and more fun, more flexible. In Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth, Christ talks about how the source of everything is providing for our welfare and our well-being. He received this awareness in the desert after being baptized by John. One way we are provided for is through the fulfillment of need. Fulfillment of need. It's safe to say that the source of everything has a greater power to fulfill our needs than we do with our limited human consciousness. The more we can let go of being controlled by our ego, which thinks of itself as the source of everything, the better off we're going to be. Increasingly, I look at those situations in which I don't immediately get what I want as evidence that my needs are being fulfilled in ways that are better than I had planned. And developing trust in that idea, my needs are being fulfilled, reduces my anxiety and my energy level or intensity or potential for anger or you name it. You just know that you and it, your needs, are being cared for. Now, I'm not a fan of the Bibles, either the Jewish Bible or the Christian Bible, but I do like the principle of creation illustrated in Genesis. God supposedly said, let there be, fill in the blank, and after manifestation, it is good. I could say that the energy is consciousness and it is a creative, loving, intelligent power. We, you and I, direct energy with our thoughts, feelings, and our actions. That's how we practice the first part of creation, by letting it, whatever it happens to be for us in that situation, be. You probably already know that when you get too involved too early in the how of creating something, you can become easily overwhelmed, blocked, and discouraged. If we can imagine what we want, knowing that our needs are being fulfilled, and that's not necessarily our wants, but our needs, we will be allowing the divine to do what it wants to do, what it is designed to do, what it always wants to do, care for our well-being. If you know you're standing on this metaphorical ground that is always working to fulfill your needs, not only your growth and your nutrition and nourishment, healing and protection, but the fulfillment of your needs and providing for your work and your survival, you're like, wow, maybe I can relax a teeny bit. Yeah, I would think that's true. And then we can employ the second part of the creation principle and positivize what was created. That's the it is good part. Using the seven-day model that allegedly it took God to create the world and maybe everything in it, we can realize that we're going to have multiple iterations, each of which we can judge as good as we continue to develop the next level of what. If it took God multiple days and processes to create, why would you and I expect to instantly create what we want? Oh, I got an idea, and I want it to turn me into a billionaire. And it's like, gee, it It didn't really happen in the way I just said it. It hasn't yet happened. Oh, well, yeah. There's a step, it is good. Take another step, it is good. Another step, it is good. And then we can manifest that which we want. If we add enough energy to it, high vibration energy. If we think we're going to be instantly gratified by these wishes that we have, we're just going to be set up for failure and to be controlled by an ego which is unbelievably demanding and punitive in the way it treats us. The bottom line of this topic, the relationship of our value to energy, is that you and I create the value through our interpretations and our perceptions, and we can both add our energy to a situation in order to get more energy out of it, and thereby empowering us to continue creating. If a farmer, by planting seeds and caring for those seeds as they start to grow in the soil, wasn't able to get good feelings from the effectiveness of their activities, they wouldn't be able to be a farmer. The same is true of an inventor, a writer, a speaker, anything. It is to be able to perceive that we're making a situation better. We are creating something, and it makes us feel good about ourselves, which is the energy that we're looking for in all of these situations. We can create the value by giving value. And the power is within us to do that. I would like to end the service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. That pretty much says it all, doesn't it? We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.